come here. Get off.
Hey y'all, so welcome back to this week's episode of The Turn On. Today we are reading A Private Affair, which was written by A.C. Arthur. So sit back, relax, get your wine, your weed, whatever you need, and enjoy.
A Private Affair by A.C. Arthur. Her fingers shook only slightly as she grabbed the waist of his sweatpants. He took another step closer, and Riley pushed the pants down past his hips. She didn't bother pushing the boxers down, but instead reached her hand inside the opening and grabbed his dick. "That's it, baby. Take what you want." His words were raspy and sounded dirty. She liked them. Riley scooted her butt to the edge of the couch, spreading her legs so that Chaz was now standing between them. She jerked her hand from the base of his leg to the tip, watching hungrily as her fingers moved over the silky dark skin. Her mouth watered and she dipped her head, extending her tongue, and took her first taste. She owned a penthouse in Manhattan, a Lamborghini, had a trust fund she hadn't touched a penny of yet, and thanks to her budding career in smart investments, became a millionaire years ago at the age of 25. But nothing she'd accomplished up to this point in her life had given Riley the surge of power she felt, which has his dick in her mouth. With her throat muscles relaxed, she took in his full length. Hollowing her cheeks, she sucked while her tongue licked the bottom of his shaft. One hand was still at the base of his dick, holding him in place while the other fondled his heavy sack. Her eyes were closed as she worked her mouth over him while the sound of his guttural moans and the feel of his fingers raping over her scalp, pushing away the band that held her hair, rang like music to her ears. He pulled back and pumped into her mouth with slow movements that almost seemed painful if the sound of his grunts were any indication. But the way he held her head so tight to him and the slight tremble in his thighs when she held him deep in her throat made Riley feel as if she were flying, soaring actually, over the entire world that had read Walt's stupid article and believed every word about her being frigid and inexperienced in the bedroom. "Damn, your freaking mouth." His words were punctuated with deep breaths and loud exhales. "You're sweet, hot little mouth." Riley let her lips slide over his dick as she pulled back slowly. He wrapped her hair around his fingers and gripped tighter, trying to keep her from releasing him completely. That wasn't her plan. Instead, she flicked her tongue over the crust of his cock, easing into the slit that dripped sugared drops of his pre-cum. He hissed, sucking air through clenched teeth as his head fell back on his shoulders. Riley had looked up just in time to see the moment of surrender in this infamous, sophisticated billionaire. Triumph was like a nightcap, and they hadn't even experienced the full meal yet. She knew the moment Chaz had reached his breaking point when, just as she sucked him in deep again and tightened her mouth around him, he released her head and stepped back from her hastily. "Take off your clothes," he grumbled as he pulled his shirt up and over his head in a matter of seconds. Riley didn't bother being offended by his command. She could still be in control of this interlude. When she was naked, she stood. Taz had just finished removing his shoes and was taking a condom out of his wallet before tossing the wallet onto the table and pushing his pants and boxers down and off. He must have replenished his condom stash when he went to his room because the two left over from last night were still on the nightstand in the bedroom. This one, Taz held between his teeth while he removed the rest of his clothes. Riley stepped forward, snapping the packet away from him. She tore it open and removed the latex so that when he stood gloriously naked in front of her, she quickly sheathed him. "This is what you want?" It was a question he didn't give her a chance to answer because before Riley could speak, Chaz wrapped an arm around her waist and pulled her against his chest. She tilted her head to stare up at him, and he bent down to meet her, crashing his lips over hers and taking a brutally hot kiss. Tongues, teeth, and moans mixed and mingled while naked bodies pressed together in the middle of the living room in a luxury Milan hotel. This could have been a scene in a movie. A tawdry sex flick, not the romantic comedies they'd been watching all day. He lifted her off the floor, wrapping her legs around his waist while his mouth still worked over hers. Riley wrapped her arms tightly around his neck as Chaz moved them back to the couch. She wasn't thinking of anything now besides how good his kisses were and how the taste of him would forever be emblazoned in her mind when he sat on the couch, holding her close in his lap. Riley eagerly pulled away from his mouth. She dropped her hands between their bodies and grabbed his cock while lifting her body to position herself over him. Now. She breathed a single word just as the tip of his dick touched her wet opening. Whatever you want, he replied, before taking her nipple between his teeth for a quick tug. Riley gasped and slammed down onto him. He filled her completely, snugly, but comfortably. It took her a couple of seconds to let the pleasure of his presence inside ripple up her spine and spread throughout her body. Then she was riding, coming up on her knees and rotating her hips in a rhythm that once again had Chaz gasping and murmuring something about her lips, her tightness, and how much he enjoyed all of the above. She marveled in the words, let them wash over her with the unmitigated pleasure sex with him was bringing her. He matched her rhythm, cupping her butt tightly and licking her breasts as she arched over him. Riley was definitely soaring now, but this time it was over puffy white clouds that lulled her into a place where only pleasure existed. She bounced over him, knowing that it could only get better from this point. Yes, Riley, take everything you want. Let go. Take it all. He gave her permission, and she took it and more until her release crashed over her, splintering her into a million pieces that scattered over sweet, blissful clouds. Text copyright 2020 by artist C. Author. Permission to read text granted by Harlequin Enterprises, ULC.
Okay, y'all, so welcome back. Thank you, Kenria, for reading that excerpt from A Private Affair by AC Author. Arthur.
It's kicking your ass, ain't it?
It's kicking my ass. AC Arthur, thank you for reading that excerpt. So, what's the deal? What happened in this book?
So, it opens on New Year's Eve in Milan. And there's these, I know, that's like very much what I find myself doing throughout this book because it's these very wealthy people. It's really, well, we'll talk about that.
I love rich black folk, by the way.
Yeah, it's cute. So they are, our two stars are the heads kind of like rival fashion houses. One of them is, am I blanking on names? And I literally just read this shit. Riley, she is the chief marketing officer at her family's fashion house. And then Chaz is a tech billionaire, but he's also like a consulting officer at his uncle's fashion house. And the two houses, the heads of the houses used to work together, but there's competing stories about why they broke up. But the short of it is they don't fuck with each other. And so it started this like feud between the two families. And so the two of them really don't know much about each other, except for Chaz is infatuated with Riley and he doesn't really know why. He's just drawn to her. And so they're at this party on New Year's in Milan. And he basically is like, spend 24 hours with me. And she's attracted to him, but she's also like leery because of their family shit. But she also trying to fuck. So she says, okay. Things go on longer than 24 hours. It develops into a what? A private affair. And a whole bunch of shit happens along the way as their families, as they deal with what it means to work in the fashion world and what it means to be members of these family-run businesses and try to balance what is happening in their relationship and how much they want to happen and how much they don't want to happen. So, hijinks. You're on mute.
No idea why that happened. Yes. Okay. So hijinks ensue. One of the things you find out very early on, like first fucking paragraph of the book, is that Riley is known as an ice queen. Like these are rich folks. These are rich, well-known folks. So not only are they rich, but they business everywhere. And Riley is known as an ice queen. Like, it's all in the tabloids. She's an ice queen. She never lets anyone in her circle and that kind of thing. We find out later in the book that she was like kind of, it was, her story was made to be that by someone in her circle that was just like, I can't have you. I'm gonna make you look like shit in front of the world. Correct. And not that she answered this. I don't think she like necessarily leaned into it, but didn't go out of her way to stop it. Correct.
Well, it's interesting. I think that in her effort to then keep her business to herself because she didn't want it to be used against her, that she then came off as icy, but it was really a self-protection type of a thing. So it wasn't necessarily that she was leaning into it. She was just trying to protect herself. But also the other part of that ice princess thing was that nigga said that she was frigid in bed, which was another thing that, yeah.
So as I was reading this, every time they talked about Ice Princess, I was just like, this is some like patriarchal bullshit, right? Yeah. Like I could not get past that part of it all, because it's like, she's just trying to mind her fucking business and stay out the fucking paper. But she's then labeled as an ice queen, you know?
I'm like, what the fuck does that mean? Not wanting to fuck somebody doesn't mean that you are, I don't know. And does it matter? What if you don't want to fuck? Like, why is that used as a negative thing? And that is really how she's painted. Like, ooh, she don't want nobody to touch her, or something wrong with her. Well, it's a lot of motherfuckers that don't want nobody to touch them.
Yeah. You know, this made me think, I remember when we were in school. I think I said it on here before. Like, people have approached me and was like, I thought you were really mean. And I'm like, me? But I think it's more, when I'm unsure, I shut up, I clam up, I like, just don't say shit. And once I'm comfortable, I mean, it'll take a lot for me to get comfortable. Once I'm comfortable, then it's all, you know, all bets are off. But I think it's one of those things where it's like, one thing is like, I'm just trying to protect myself, but it's being read as something completely different. You know, I'm going to hate even bringing this up. I would have never put this on the 2021, bingo card for the Turn On podcast. But anyway, I was watching Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. Kathy Hilton is a guest on there, right? Kathy. And then her sister, Kyle Richards, is like a long time housewife. And Garcelle Bouvier, whatever. She is a housewife. And so, she's like the one black housewife. There's so much racist shit that goes on in there. But anyway, so she's the one black housewife. And a lot of times she just says what's on her mind, right? And so she was talking to Kathy and she was like, oh my God, I remember I went to an event with your daughter and I thought she was so stuck up because she sat on her phone the entire time. It was like a show or something. And Kathy was like, no, she has like crippling anxiety. And mm-hmm. so being in her phone keeps her from having to deal with everything. Yeah. And I was like, wow. See, yeah. So it's one of those things where, okay, don't necessarily judge a book by its cover or what you think is going on, because it's only the tip of the iceberg. And there's probably a bunch of other shit happening underneath. So, mm-hmm. Ice Queen, I hate that. Yeah. I hate that terminology. Anytime I hear Ice Queen, I'm thinking someone said this because they want to, like,
they want something from you that you don't want to give.
Is ever Ice Queen like, is there ever a, well, let's hear it out. Okay, it's valid, right? Is there ever a time?
Not
that,
even
like,
with Elsa.
Yeah, like, it's, I don't understand that movie, but yeah.
There's lots of people who get that reference.
But yeah, I just feel like it's one of those things where it's like, and no, never on any world is Ice Queen ever like something where you could be like, okay. You know, like, jerk. Kids are jerks.
Yes, they are.
All kids are jerks, right? Mm-hmm. Yes. It could be seen as a derogatory term. However, no. Kids are jerks because that is what they're supposed to do. They come mm-hmm. out of the womb and they need to worry about self. They need to be selfish mm-hmm. little bastards. It helps them keep them alive into who they need to be as adults. But yeah, they're fucking jerks.
Yes. I have to remind myself so often, oh, right, they're this age. Every time a kid is a jerk.
Girl, I'm like, oh, yeah. Mm. Yeah. So, okay. So her ex spreading rumors because he was a piece of shit and then felt like he needed to make her look crazy in the world.
I've been there.
What'd you say?
I said, I've been there.
Ooh, do tell.
Oh, there's only so much I can say. I'll say this. Narcissists like to recreate reality. Mm-hmm. So if they don't like the way that things have played out, a common theme is that they'll just make up another way that it happened that puts them in the hero position or the victim position. Mm-hmm. And makes the person who, you know, who broke away from their narcissist spell look bad by having experienced it in a really acute way around retellings of my divorce. Yeah. 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 I mean, the great thing, at least in my case, is by the time that happened, I didn't care. And of course, the best way to deal with a narcissist is to pay them dust. So getting upset about a narcissist's reinvention of the facts is really pointless, but it is a thing that I have absolutely dealt with. And I kept like wanting Riley to get to that point where she didn't give a fuck about the fact that this dude had lied on her. But I could also get like having it thrown in your face by reporters and seeing on tabloid. Yeah, how that would like wear on you, regardless of what you knew to be true.
Yeah, I, there could be like exes out there telling stories, but
nigga, it's strangers telling stories. Remember?
Oh, yeah.
We haven't seen
that. Yeah, and that's the only thing that I thought about. And I was just like, all right, whatever, nigga. You know, like,
wait, can we share that in a general way?
So someone called me and said that someone that I was involved with called me and said that they overheard someone else, and, you know, DC is only but so big, and you know, I host a podcast where I talk about my pussy weekly, so that makes it even smaller. So he said he overheard some people talking about us and about me and my previous relationships and how I said certain things about this person, and it was just fucked up. And I was just like, so he approached me about it and I appreciate that he said something, because I'm like, you know, all right, I'm glad, you know, I'm glad you felt that you could come talk to me about it as opposed to just being like, ah, that bitch, you know?
Yeah, I was exactly. Some shit that wasn't even true.
Exactly. So he asked me about it and I was just like, no. I was like, I talk about relationships on the show. And I talk about relationships on the show and niggas like to talk and for all types of shit and everybody gonna put a little sauce on something to make the story go down even better and, you know, even
also
spicier.
Niggas like to lie on their dicks.
Niggas love to lie on their dicks. So yeah, it was one of them things. And more than anything, like, I value the relationship I have with that person. And so it was just kind of like, okay. Like, it's fucked up that you felt like that this got to you, this lie got to you. But at the same time, like, I'm glad we were in a place where you could pull me aside and be like, yo, what's good? But, you know, all that to say.
That had to happen.
Niggas,
whoever you are,
fuck you, suck a dick. Well, no, sucking dick is actually kind
of... That's not a punishment.
Suck a musty dick.
Ooh.
That's a punishment.
Taste and smell.
So, yeah. Suck dick. But I don't even think that this person, like, thinking about what was said, I don't think this person even, like, listens to the show. I think it's more... You know, might have heard a clip here, clip there.
That
start,
is so
you know.
Weird.
Yeah, but, you know, whatever. Again.
So very weird.
Niggas like to talk and lie on their dicks and lie on other niggas' dicks. Because that was also part of it. It was like they was lying on somebody else's dick. And I'm just like, okay.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Look at all these rumors surrounding me every day.
Oh, that's the title of this episode, isn't it?
Oh, I was thinking I was gonna do so icy, but
oh, because they got money,
and she's an ice queen.
Oh, okay, yeah. That's
ooh, it. These hoes excited, girl. You know you like it. I'm so icy. That man was singing out like my chain hangs down to my dick, like
in his whole heart.
With his whole, like, the depths of his... He was singing for his ancestors.
Oh.
About how his chain hangs down to his dick. So, anyway. Okay. One of the things that I thought about was... There was a scene in this... And I'm jumping all around. There was a scene in the story where Riley and Chaz are out. And they're, like, going to get something to eat. And so Chaz is like, let's go get some greasy shit. And Riley's like, oh, yeah, I like it. And he was like, you? And then he was kind of like, wait, yeah, like you are a person. I didn't say let's get some crazy shit. Like
it was like pizza.
Yeah. And he was just like, I would have never thought you eat pizza. But then again, you're a person who doesn't eat pizza. Right. And it like. I wrote here, we all put on our pants one leg at a time. And then I like, the way that I think about these things, we all shit.
Mm-hmm. Everybody poops.
Everybody has house. To poop.
Yeah.
Everybody. Mm-hmm. Even Beyonce sits on a toilet and poops.
Everybody poops. We had a song about it.
And you do?
Yeah. I made it up when I was trying to get the kids to start using the potty.
Oh, okay.
Everybody poops. Everybody poops. Yes, it's a classic.
It's a classic in the household. But yeah. And so it's one of those things where it's like, okay, no matter how mundane you think your life is, there's always like everybody has to do certain mundane tasks. Mm-hmm. And they got to do it for them damn self. Like.
Yeah, you can't hire somebody to poop for you.
Even if you got somebody putting your pants on for you, the motherfuckers go on one leg at a time. You ain't levitating into them bitches. You know, like, everybody shitting. Everybody gonna have a situation where they sitting on the toilet sweating. They got some shit coming out, right? Yeah, but it also makes me think about, and this kind of goes back to what we touched on in another episode, where you, like, see someone, you're infatuated with someone from a distance, and then you see them up close, and you're like,
oh, yeah.
I don't know about that, right?
Yeah. The expectations that we, and like, the stories we create around people who we don't even know yet, and then the expectations we attach to those, right?
Yeah. Which also, I think we've touched on it before, but someone was like, when you meet somebody on an app, get the fuck off the app and get in real person as soon as possible. Because what you, and actually I like that Hinge has this feature now where you can record voice memos. Yeah.
That's cute. And, like, and add it to your, like, it's on your profile already, or you can send it after you connect.
Yeah. No, it's on your profile already.
Okay.
And I like it because you get an idea of how their voice sounds, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's actually not bad.
Okay. Have you swiped left on anyone because of what their voice sounded like?
I'm in a weird place right now with like relationships, so I'm not swiping much. But this one guy, actually, I'm not even going to do it because he actually seems like a good little, hold on, let me match with him before I like. How do I fucking, okay, match with him. Okay, so let me do a little swiping to see who got, oh, here's one, right, oh. How to pronounce my name. Never mind. Damn it.
You can't play it. So.
Yes, I can.
Not on the show, boo.
They do that on TikTok all the time.
But this is.
Okay, anyway. Our show was about to play that shit, but whatever. So, yeah, I like it because you get a sense of their voice. Yeah, you get a little more feel of them. But I have had situations where I met people. I mean, shit, you an African Santa. Like, you meet somebody and you're like, oh, this person is cool. All right, all right. And then you meet them in person, you're like, not so much.
Right. Right. But you know, I met African Santa in person.
It was another guy that kind of catfished you.
Twice. I was just talking to my daddy about that. So I was asking him what he was watching on TV. And he was like, he said, oh, I was looking at MTV, but I just switched over to such and such. I was like, what the fuck do you watch on MTV? He's like, I watch what all the young people watch. Just like that, because that's what my daddy sound like. And I was like, what do you mean? He's like, well, you know, that ridiculous whatever show. And so then we had a whole conversation about how I can't watch that. And then he said he also watches Catfish. Mm-hmm. And he was like telling me about his favorite episodes, which one of them apparently is a chick who thought she was talking to Bow Wow, but she was not. She was talking to another chick.
That was early Catfish. That was like when Roland Ray was still on Catfish. He was on Catfish. That's how he
really?
Like.
Yeah. I didn't know. I was somebody posted a video like a carousel.
I'm literally getting Zeus Network right now so that I can watch that show.
Well, I don't know what this clip was from, but it was very much what you are always like doing to show me that it's like Roland Ray. And I was like, oh, this is exactly what Erica's always talking about.
Yeah, he did this. So there's this show on Zeus, which is like a $3.99 a month subscription network. Mm-hmm. And it is like, if reality TV and Instagram were actual magazines and you cut them out, and there were like the pages that like fall to the floor, like the scraps and little bits and that kind of shit, and you sweep that shit up and make it into a network, that is Zeus.
Okay.
So I had it when I was recovering from my mastectomy because
that's because y'all were watching
We were literally mainlining trash. Like, it was like, inject that shit into my veins. So there's this new show called The Talk or The Conversation or whatever. And then they take like two reality people and they put them in a room and talk to one another. And so Bobby Lights and Roland Ray have one together.
I was like, who the fuck is Bobby Lights and why are they beefing so hard?
Again. If Love and Hip Hop was a magazine, Love and Hip Hop Miami is like a page, right? Uh-huh. And on that page is Trick Daddy and Trina mm-hmm. and Marla Negra. And then on the edge of the page is like Bobby Lights. And you're trying to cut out the picture of Trina. So you cut the picture of Trina. And then Bobby Lights falls to the floor. And you're like, you know what?
We're going to give him a show.
We got to sweep up some, we got to sweep some shit up. And then somebody going through like, oh shit, this ain't half bad. Let's make a show.
Wow.
And that is it. So yeah, I'm about to get it. Pay my $3.99 so I can get it for the month so mm-hmm. that I can watch all the trash. They have like, niggas I didn't even know was beefing. They be on there like, any ideas to sit down and talk. It started with Hope, Princess, and Ray J. But now they're like executive producers of the show. So I'm kind of like, I thought y'all was divorced. Whatever. Neither here nor there. So how did the fuck did we get here?
Wait, I was talking to my daddy about catfishing. Oh, okay. And so then we started talking about apps. And I was explaining to him that it has happened to me kind of a couple of times. It was the one nigga whose pictures were 20 years old, mm-hmm. at least. And then it was a dude who was probably a couple hundred pounds over what he was in his photo, which was not the issue. The issue with him was the same issue with the old nigga who was also still attractive. You lied.
You fucking lied. It's just that simple. Like,
just don't lie.
Yeah, because I actually might have fucked with you had you just been honest.
Great guy. Except, well, it was the lying, and then he ain't had no boundaries with his family. Like at all. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, catfishing. Again, catfishing. Not sure how we got there, but all right. Okay. Question. Would you rather have fame or fortune?
Fortune.
All day.
I don't need I love all y'all, but
I don't need y'all, but you know.
Yeah, but I'm not interested in people interrupting me while I eat or talking to me in general. And that doesn't mean if y'all see me, you shouldn't say hello, as long as you have on a mask and you stay far away. But it does mean that if I had to choose, I would rather have the money.
Yeah, like.
Hands down.
I'd love to be anonymous and rich.
Yeah. That's why it was on Twitter last week. Some white dude like filmed himself finding out that he won $1 million in the lottery.
Fuck
and
that.
Somebody was like, when I tell you that this would never happen with black people.
Never. Never.
Like, y'all would never know
I
won.
Like money.
You would just be getting money and not know where the fuck he was getting money from.
And don't ask questions. It's legal.
Exactly. That's it. That's all you need to know.
And the people that fucks with me gonna know to shut the fuck up. She said it's legal. Right.
Exactly. You know? Yeah. So. It's nope. No. Mm-mm, no contest.
Okay. So, there was a scene where Chaz came to Riley's house and saw what looked like a paperweight.
Yeah. On the mantle or some shit.
It was a crystal dildo.
It was.
And so interesting because I think that, so I believe in all that shit. I believe in sex magic. I believe in crystals, mm-hmm. all that shit. And so I was like, ooh, she's crystal pussy Twitter.
I knew you were going to say that when I read
crystal
it.
Crystal pussy Twitter. Yeah. But I thought that, but I think that that's really interesting because maybe, I don't know if it's maybe just because of the space that I am in personally, or if this is just happening more, but I feel like more people are leaning into non-traditional Christian, non-Christian spirituality, mm-hmm. you know, and recognizing that this shit is a mosaic of, you know, energy and spirits and different forces and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And so I thought that was really dope that she mentioned it. And then she was like, I use it to meditate. And he was like, meditate? Yeah.
Yeah, but I thought it was dope, especially, and they don't talk about religion at all, but to your point, like, that folks are realizing that it doesn't have to be an either or proposition. Like, mm-hmm. you can pray to God and you can thank Jesus and you can have crystals charging on your windowsill.
Because let's be for real, like, let's remember that the Bible was written by somebody, and so they was quick to, because look, let me tell you, when I'm writing a story of my life, some shit gonna get left on the table. Well, left
that
on
don't
the,
fit the narrative.
Exactly. Right?
Yeah.
It don't fit the narrative that I'm selling. And crystals and all that work, it just didn't fit the narrative that these white dudes that was building the Bible felt like it needed to, you know? Mm-hmm. So I thought that was really dope. And I actually have done like meditations, masturbation with like mm-hmm. intentions and that kind of thing. Cause they say, like, you know, it's like power and all this shit. I could probably explain it a little better if my brain was working, which it is not right now. But yeah, like, there's power in having orgasms and putting that sexual energy towards manifesting certain things you want in your life. Hmm. And I think it's really interesting when, you know, like, once you start looking at it, because again, you can't tell me that, like, the moon don't affect us. Mm. When the moon can fucking pull bodies of water to high and low tide, right? Mm-hmm. You think I'm just walking around here impenetrable from the moon and its energy? Me thinks not. So yeah, I actually really liked it. And because she was a, you know, just a regular ass, not regular, but, you know, she was just a chick that was really successful in business. And this was another tool in her arsenal to make sure that she was doing, you know, like, yeah. living and feeling good.
Well, and she also talked about something that I think does, like, make her a regular chick. Like, she was saying when she told him what she did it for, she left out a couple of things. And one of them was confidence. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there was a lot of her inner kind of monologue about how she had really suffered from low self-esteem for years, and she finally came to her own, but she still has imposter syndrome. She still suffers from a lack of confidence in a lot of ways. And so the facade that she puts up is that she's always trying to project that, but that this is one of the practices that she uses in order to attract that to herself.
Whew. So one of the things that I'm working on right now, actually I'll be doing it later today, with my business, I have a business coach, and one of her things that she, like, presses on us to do, I mean, like, we're working on, you know, like, how to close a sale, how to sell yourself, how to properly market your product and explain what you do. And do niggas really need to know what the fuck you do? They just want to know what the results they're going to get, that kind of stuff. Hmm. One of the things that she presses upon us is to brag on yourself, post, talk about your shit, that kind of thing. It is so difficult for me to do this shit.
You just did a really nice post on LinkedIn. That was like, look at you, tooting your.
Because I have to, and I hate it. Like, hate it. And I probably would have gotten out of doing it, but I was on the phone someone else was in the room while I was doing the coaching call, and they heard me commit to doing this.
Held your ass accountable.
And so they hit me up like, where's your post today? So something else that I had to commit to is going live. Ooh. Yeah. Okay. I hate that shit. Like, I struggle with it for fucking for the Turn On podcast, yeah. which is something I love and adore, right? Mm-hmm. And I mean, I love what I'm doing, but yeah, it is, I am trying.
So I will say this, right? Mm-hmm. When I'm in book promotion season, like when I have a project to promote, you know how much I hate that shit, right? Like, I'm doing podcasts, I'm doing book events, I'm doing whatever. One thing that I realized during my last book tour, which was a year ago, was that you have to find the ways of doing that that feel good to you. Mm-hmm. So expanding your platform, yes, but finding the ways to do it that feel good and drawing boundaries around the ways that don't. And so, like, I don't know how, I know for me, some of the things that folks were pushing me to do literally would push me to anxiety attack, like doing live, not even just live TV, but like doing, but live TV sucks, but also doing like tape segments for like national TV, like that kind of shit pushes me to panic attack state. Mm-hmm. And after a couple of times of doing that in that last cycle, I just was like, you know what? I'm not doing this anymore. It's off the table.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because it wasn't worth how shitty it made me feel.
Yeah.
For whatever boost we thought it was going to give. And so just want to encourage you to do some thinking around what feels good in your body.
Yeah. And so I'm trying, and that's what I'm doing. Like I said, I got to go live and I'm going live on Facebook in the group that, like, in that particular group, right? Mm-hmm. So it's not like I'm going live broadcasting to the masses. And it's more right now just for me to see if this is something that I'm comfortable with. You know, like, I don't want to give anything a no until I say, like, okay, I've honestly tried it. Mm-hmm. But, like, my LinkedIn post yesterday, I can do more of those, right? Because it was, it happened, right? And so, yeah, I'm trying to figure out what works best for me and also what works best for my industry, because I do recognize that some of the stuff, I'm like, these people don't give a fuck about this, you know? So I'm trying to, like, and it's, again, it's a great program because she was like, okay, so let's sit down and figure out what works for you. So she's super committed to tailoring everything to your particular situation. But yeah, I committed to it because it was, and look, let me not even act like I got to go live for a long time. 3 minutes max.
It don't matter. It's still a thing that you have to do. And that gives you time. Like you said, you get to feel how that feels.
Yeah. So I'm going to do that when I finish this up. But yeah, it, like, the confidence thing is just, oh, and it's funny because, like, I do this all the time and I have no problem doing it.
Because you have control is what I came to realize. I'm like, none of this is, I'm never nervous before we do anything with the show because
we control that shit.
Yeah, I'm literally sitting here.
I'm cutting this shit out. Yeah.
Right. My finger's on the fucking button. So I don't care. But that's the other part of it, too. What I realized was that, like, so say going on podcasts, I realized that there were some shows that I felt more anxiety about than others. It's because there are people who I didn't really want to talk to, or I didn't really trust their audiences or whatever. And so I just stopped doing those shit.
Yeah.
Like, I'm no longer doing interviews where white people are asking me to explain things.
No.
I don't like them. I don't trust how they're going to use my information and clips of me after. So I just don't do them anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I totally dig it.
Yeah.
It's so wild because, like, you think about, you hit the nail on the head. You see people and you're like, oh my goodness, they're so amazing. They're so, they have it all. They have all the confidence. And you're like, one good conversation. You're like, no, this shit, I can't. It scares me too, but I do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So, yeah. Okay. Oh, meditation. I can't meditate.
No?
I mean, so it's hard for me. I have to be very, like, incremental in my meditation. Mm-hmm. Like, I can't just sit and meditate for, like, minutes and hours. No. Mm-hmm. Like, 30 seconds, we're going to visualize an apple.
Mm-hmm.
You made it to 30. Okay. Let's do another 15. You know, like,
I think that's a good approach, though.
Yeah. Just biting off what you can, I guess. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I struggle. I struggle with meditating on my own. I prefer guided meditation. It helps me to stay more in the present moment than if I'm just on my own. Also, I'm finding because of my autonomic dysfunction, I have trouble calming, like bringing my body to a calm state oftentimes, particularly like when I lie down in the middle of the day, like either I fall right asleep, which is most of the time, but then there are some times where I have to lay down because my body can't be upright anymore. But everything, it's like it's on coffee. So everything is. And so whereas I used to use those opportunities to meditate, which often is a prayer for me, I have a lot of trouble being able to calm my heart rate down enough, my breathing down enough to be able to really get into that space. And so what I find sometimes helps is just listening to super calming music, or there's this this song that was crafted specifically for like folks with anxiety. But it helps with that, but also I find that it helps with this like parasympathetic sympathetic issue that I have. It's called Weightless, and there's like a 10-hour long version of it, but there's also short, and I'll just put that shit on and let it go. I use it when I'm at acupuncture trying to calm down on the table, or when I'm in the middle of the day. And we can link to that, and it's like scientifically backed to help people calm down. And I hum, which can activate your vagus nerve and kind of soothe you down a bit. And I find that that can help me to fall closer into a meditative state when I'm struggling to calm down enough to do it. So maybe one of those will help.
When I was on my 40th birthday vacation, I was at this resort, and there was this like area. It was the weirdest like little space to like even sit at, but I found myself sitting out there listening to books on tape, and I just happened to take a picture of it, and that seat, that space is where I always take myself back to when I have to calm down. Cause like one of the things I'm dealing with is blood pressure. My blood pressure, it's not high, it's elevated. Right. And so I've talked to my doctor about it, and I was like, I don't know. And she's like, we don't need to put you on medicine because it's not so high. You know, if you're on medicine, it's going to take it too low. So whenever I go in, I like sit there, close my eyes, and I'm sitting right there back at that resort, looking out over this fountain, ocean in the background. I see the tree, I feel the breeze, that kind of thing. So, I need more of those vacations. I need more of my.
So you have something to draw on.
Yeah, I need more to draw on. But yeah. So
also, though, have she told you to see a cardiologist yet?
No, should I be
concerned? No, I'm not saying that because you should be concerned. I'm saying because there are some tools that can help with just a slight drop. So like I take a beta blocker, not because my blood pressure is high, but because I have heart palpitations. But the effect is the same. It brings your blood pressure down slightly. And there's no side effects. Like on a low dose.
Fucking drugs right now, but all right.
Listen, I understand.
how they tell you to bring in a list of your medicines and stuff. I literally had to like lay them all out on the bed and just take like this picture.
I take
like,
pictures. Yes.
This is what I take because I'm writing shit.
I just downloaded an app from somebody that somebody mentioned in a Twitter thread for organizing. Because I also have trouble with my morning and evening meds. I'm great about taking, but my middle of the day, sometimes I forget. And then I can set an alarm, but then I don't remember what the alarm was for when it goes off. So it just don't happen. But it's also a good resource for being like, here, this is what I take. Just look at my phone. Here are the dosages. Okay. This is, so I'll send that to you. Okay. It's also occurring to me, and this is a little off topic, but I think I should. I said before that when I figured out what I had that I would share, and I haven't done that, but we've talked around it, but I haven't said it. So, hey, folks, I have something called myalgic encephalomyelitis, which is commonly referred to as chronic fatigue syndrome, but I and most people who have it originally really actually hate that term because it makes it sound like you just fucking tired and that ain't it. But so it basically means my analogy is that you know how old iPhones, the battery's all fucked up. My body is an old iPhone. It never really charges above 50% and it doesn't hold a charge. And so I am usually operating on fucking fumes. But beyond that, I also have trouble sitting up for very long because I have something called POTS, it's orthostatic intolerance. It basically means my body wants to lay down. Blood does not do a very good job moving around my body. It doesn't reach my brain the way that it should, which means that I am often dizzy and nauseated and I have brain fog, which makes it hard for me to remember things. I can't stand for very long. So cooking and standing up to put on lotion, standing up to brush my teeth, all of those things that I used to do without thinking, I literally cannot do anymore. Or if I do, then I end up with something called a crash, which is like the huge thing in this condition where if you push yourself, and when I say push myself, I mean stand up too fast or try to talk while coming up the stairs, I can put myself into a crash state where I can't physically wake up and get up for 24 or 48 hours. It fucking sucks. I am slowly finding doctors and resources and support groups and all of that kind of shit. But a lot of it has just been figuring out what it means to be me with a new set of abilities. That's that. That's what's happening. But I'm all right.
So let me tell y'all now, motherfuckers. I've said many a times that Kimria is the one that keeps this shit operating regularly. And I am trying my best, will try my best to respect my co-host's wishes. But if some shit start going spotty, y'all mind y'all business and know we'll be back. Okay? Thank you. Please and thank you. I'm just happy that we have a diagnosis. We know what we're dealing with. We know what monster we're fighting. But now for me, the thing is, how do we fight this monster? How do we make sure that you are happy and healthy and, you know, doing well and giving you the support you need? So, you know, I tell you this shit all the time. I ain't gonna start crying. So,
No. We are right.
Okay. Last thing. One of the things you've sent, because we send notes to each other about books and stuff. One of the things that Kimria sent was what we learn from our parents. Did you say about love or just in parents?
I think I was thinking about love, but yeah, either way.
So what's one thing that stands out to you that you learned from either of your parents about love?
Ooh. Oh, God. Okay. I won't identify which parents. One of my parents taught me that it is better to go along to get along than to advocate for yourself.
I know which parent that
is. Yeah. And that conflict is inherently confrontational, and so you should avoid it at all costs. Yeah. Yeah. I had to learn that that was bullshit the hard way. Yeah. Now I can't go back. Yeah.
So my mother's passed away, so I feel like I can share a little bit more.
Yeah.
So my mother and my father met when my mother was super young, and not super young, but, you know, she was pretty green when she met my dad. And he died very shortly into their marriage. She was able to produce 4 little children, and then he passed away. And one of the things I remember my mom told me, and it stuck with me, and it stuck with me for a very long time. My mom was like, I loved your dad too much, and so God took him away from me. Yeah. She was like, I loved him more than God, and so God got jealous and took him away from me. Maybe not those words, but kind of those words.
Essentially that. Oh, my God.
And that, I didn't even realize how hard it, like, stuck with me until I was, like, in therapy. And I remember I said that to our therapist, and she was like, what? And I lived with that shit for a really long time. And so, and I think it affected how I went into relationships and how I loved. And, you know, like I always looked at, I looked at love as a temporary thing, you know, as a, I mean, on one hand, yes, life can change. We literally just talked about this shit. Life can change on a dime. People can be here and not. But it was less of a take advantage of the world while it's here and more of a don't get attached to these niggas because they about to leave kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, lots of therapy and a bitch made it through. But it also makes me very careful about how, because I mean, like, if my mom was here and I told her, she said that, she might not even remember it, right?
When I tell you that every time I have told my parents about some fucked up shit they said to me, oh, what? They never say, well, no, sometimes they say they didn't say that, but most of the time I don't remember saying that.
Yeah. And so it makes me try to be more conscientious about what I say around my kid. Mm-hmm. But also, it also makes me realize that, like, he gonna have his interpretation of shit. Mm-hmm. He's gonna have his interpretation of shit. So all I can do is make sure that he has the tools and resources in place so that when he has this interpretation, be it correct, factual or not, mm-hmm. he's able to deal with that comes from it.
I mean, yes, sure, but that's not all you can do. You can also do the first thing that you said, which is being really intentional about the shit that you say to him and that you say around him.
Definitely, definitely. But I mean,
like, two things go hand in hand.
I was talking to a homeboy and he was telling me how his son had said some shit. And he was like, I have to look at this nigga like, no, nigga, that's not how you were brought up. Like, you know, it was on some like struggle shit. Like, yeah, I had to struggle. And his daddy was like, no, nigga. And I can show you pictures of.
Like, what you never went to bed hungry.
Yeah, like, I ain't never been to Disney World. My parents ain't never take me on vacation. He's like, nigga, 3, 6, 9. These are pictures from you holding Mickey Mouse's hand, right? So that's what I mean, you know? Okay. Like, and yeah, and so there will be things that he gonna just flat out be like, you did this. And I might have to be like, did I? Or, I mean, like, if I hit on some, like, I don't remember doing it, I'll definitely be like, I don't remember doing but that. Don't mean but I apologize. Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. But yeah.
Which is powerful. And I don't think enough people finish that sentence that way.
Yeah. Yeah. Because it's perception.
Intent,
right?
And impact. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, whew, girl. You know, going through this shit as a parent, I mean, going through raising a kid really makes you, like, dig up the shit you were subjected to as a child.
Yes.
You know?
For better or
for worse. This kind of reminds me of what Jacqueline said when we were interviewing her, when she was talking about caring for her mother. She was like, you know, this is just reflective of the shit she put me through. I mean, and she's a caring caregiver. She cares for her mother very well. And it's just, you know, like, that shit gonna come back around, you know, and Yeah. Sometimes it's, you know, it ain't so pretty when you receiving the same shit you dished out, you know?
Yeah. That's it.
Yeah, so. But, okay, that's all I got. You got anything, boo?
Nah. I think that's it. It was in, I guess that it was interesting being in this space with these people who have so much fucking money.
Yeah, they're like, just take my car.
Right.
Like, and not like,
driver.
Not like borrow my beater, my Honda Civic to like run around a corner. No, this is like.
My driver will take you home.
Exactly. A real car with a driver, not a fucking beater.
Right. Like, I have a 2-story penthouse with, you know, floor to ceiling windows and views of Manhattan, and it shit was wild. It was an interesting, I'm like, oh, I don't know this life. And they very casually
behind the curtain.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Well, all right. That's all I got. You got anything else for us?
Nope. That's it.
All righty. So we will be back with our segment, What's Turning Us On? You guys just say it again. Just say it.
Okay. What's Turning Us On?
Okay.
Hey, y'all. Today's a great day to start your own podcast. Whether you're looking for a new marketing channel, have a message you want to share with the world, or just think it'd be fun to have your own show like us, podcasting is an easy, inexpensive, and fun way to expand your reach online. And Buzzsprout is hands down the easiest and best way to launch, promote, and track your podcast. Your show gets put online and listed in all the major podcast directories like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google, literally everything, within minutes of finishing and uploading your recording. We use it here for the Turn On, and I can truly attest to the fact that it's pretty fucking dope. Podcasting isn't hard when you have the right partners, and the team at Buzzsprout is passionate about helping you succeed. So join over 100,000 podcasters like us who are already using Buzzsprout to get their message out to the world. Just click the link in our show notes and you'll be able to get your own account set up. And if you sign up for a paid plan, you'll get a $20 Amazon gift card and support our show. Let's create something great together. Sign up for Buzzsprout today.
Okay, y'all, so we are back with What's Turning Us On. And one of the things we talk about a lot when we're doing, just talking about sex and fucking, is that a lot of times people are hesitant to share their desires and kinks and all of that with their partner for fear of being judged or looked at as creepy and freaky and that kind of shit. I got to tell you a story when this is over. So, I found this website. It is called We Should Try It. And it's at weshouldtryit.com. And it's an online questionnaire for couples. So what you do, partner one, they log on. I mean, they go to the website. And so you both do it at the same time. I mean, you both do it on the same device. So partner one goes to the device and there's a list of questions. And it's like, do you want to do bondage? Do you want to try anal? Do you want to try edging? Let's try this. Let's try this. And you list what you're interested in exploring. Hand your laptop to your partner and they do the same thing. And then it spits out a report and the report shows what the both of you have in common. So you can be comfortable to say, hey, I really want to try water sports without your partner being like, you know, because your partner might want to try it. And then y'all look at each other and be like, oh, did we become best friends? Or it don't show up on their part. And you're like, I wasn't that interested anyway. You know, so I think it's a really dope website. I think it'll allow couples to kind of get a little bit more open and understanding about new things. So yeah.
That's what a pearl necklace is? I thought that was something else. So I'm like,
you know what a pearl necklace is?
I thought it was something else.
What did you think it was?
Like succubites? Like,
no, it's when they skeet on your chest. Because there was an episode of Sex in the City where the man was like, oh, I got a pearl necklace on a private plane.
Nigga, did not know what that meant. I thought it was like a bunch of succubites. I never knew what it meant. Yeah.
Anyway,
like, okay, but anyway, I ain't going, no comment.
I've been gifted a few pearl necklaces in my life.
I'm like, didn't even know it.
So yeah, we should try it.com. Give it a try. It's cute. It's fun. Cute. I feel like it's a great activity for couples.
Yeah. I mean, I would, of course, argue that if you can't have these conversations with somebody, then maybe you should not be having sex with them.
But also, there are things here that you might not have thought of.
And that's what I was about to say. It could spark some cool ideas. Like, I'm like, oh, my partner and I could do this because this shit would be fun just to, like, go through it and see, oh, shit, we never did that before. So I think it'd be fun in that respect, too. So I'm actually looking forward to using it. It'll be cute.
Yep. So, all right, that's it. This is your two favorite ho-hosts, Erica and Killa, two hoes making it clap.
Hey. Bye.
This episode was produced by us, Kenry and Erica, and edited by Ballistic. The theme music is from Brazy. Hit subscribe right now in your favorite podcast app and at youtube.com/theturnonpodcast so you'll never miss an episode.
Then follow us on Twitter at @theturnonpod and Instagram at @theturnonpodcast. And you can find links to books, transcripts, guest info, what's turning us on, and other fun stuff at theturnonpodcast.com.
And don't forget to email us at theturnonpodcast@gmail.com with your book recommendations and your pressing sex and related questions.
And you can support the show by leaving us a 5-star review, buying some merch, or becoming a patron of the show. Just head to theturnonpodcast.com to make that happen.
Thanks for listening, and we'll see you soon. Holla.